I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for choosing this KAXE KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a National Public Radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcast. Go to KAXE.org, and thanks for listening. Later this hour, we'll talk with John Latimer. He's going to give us some ideas on places to go outside. We are all reminded to not shake hands anymore and to wash our hands constantly and to stay within 6 feet, not be in public. But here's the thing. You can get outside. You can take walks. You can go to trails maybe you've never been to before with a little extra time in your life. So stay tuned throughout this hour. We'll be bringing you a lot more. Greta Call is the data reporter for MinPost, an online nonprofit news source that covers Minnesota politics and issues. They are working hard right now as a news organization to cover coronavirus and COVID-19 from many different angles. Her latest article is How COVID-19 Testing Works and Why Minnesota's Capacity to Do It is Limited. And she also does a daily briefing on what is going on with coronavirus in the state of Minnesota. Greta, thanks so much for being back with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Hope you guys are all doing well up
there. Yeah, we're all plugging away, trying to remember we're all facing something here. So, Greta, let's start off, though, first, because you are doing this daily update. Where are we at right now when it comes to coronavirus in Minnesota?
Yes. So, yesterday, the Minnesota Department of Health is announcing the number of cases that they discovered the day before, kind of the next day, around 11 o'clock. And so our most recent update from the Minnesota Department of Health says that we have 60 confirmed cases in Minnesota. Six of those were confirmed, or they were announced by the Minnesota Department of Health yesterday. That's fewer than were announced the day before, but they've also tightened up the testing guidelines. So they're only testing a limited selection of people just based on the fact that we don't have that many tests in Minnesota. And so they're trying to get them to people who need them the most based on, say, if you're hospitalized, it really matters if you test positive or negative because they want to put you in more isolation than if you test negative. And also people who live in what they're calling congregate living situations. So that could be, say, a long-term care facility or a homeless shelter where if you test positive, there are probably a lot of other people living in close proximity to you who are more susceptible to bad symptoms of this virus and also are living really close, so could have picked it up.
Yeah, you know, the other day I was thinking to myself, I had a physical planned for next week, just a regular checkup, and I thought I should call and reschedule that because I don't have to do that. But the clinic called me instead, and I'm now scheduled for July. And I think that's a good reminder for folks to realize that, you know, if it's not something really bad right now, or it's an elective. I know they're making some hard choices that way too, but we just have never seen this kind of extraordinary event go on in our country before.
Certainly we haven't. And in Minnesota, our infectious disease director, Chris Arisman, has been saying that as long as she's been doing this, we've had nothing like this in Minnesota. So yeah, they're really emphasizing that people should follow the social distancing guidelines. Even for people, I'm turning 30 this year, and so I'm not at super high risk of getting really sick because of this virus. But if I get sick and I'm around people who are more at risk of getting really sick, I could cause them to get super sick, and that would be bad. So they're asking everybody to socially distance themselves just to make sure that not everybody who has a bad case of COVID hits the healthcare system at once.
So tell us what you know about the testing. What tests are available? What's the plan for the future, even if there's enough labs out there?
Yeah, so testing sort of starts with the test kits, and the Centers for Disease Control, which is our federal healthcare organization, has been under fire for not distributing enough of the test kits. We do know that countries like South Korea have been really effective at testing a lot of people, and that if you test a lot of people, you can figure out who needs to go into quarantine and that kind of thing more effectively. And so they've actually been pretty effective at fighting this thing because they've done so much testing. We don't have that capacity in the United States and in Minnesota because we don't have enough test kits to test everybody who would like to be tested. The Minnesota Department of Health has said that they would aspirationally like to test everybody who wants to be tested, but we're just not there right now. And the governor has said and has asked Vice President Mike Pence, who's the head of the coronavirus response in Washington, for enough tests to test 15,000 people every month in Minnesota. And we definitely aren't there. So we know, like I said, they're asking us to test people who are hospitalized or hospitalized living in congregate living situations or are healthcare workers because they could spread the disease to other people as well. They're asking people who are displaying symptoms, which so far this disease is fairly new, but the symptoms that the CDC is saying kind of coincide with COVID-19 are tightness in the chest, coughing, and fever. But if you have those symptoms and you're not and you're managing okay at home, they're asking you to stay at home and quarantine yourself. And they're saying for now you probably won't be able to get tested unless you're in the hospital or in some of those other settings.
So what are you hearing? What's the hope? Are there bright lights ahead for more tests? What are you hearing for future and increasing the amount of tests out there?
Yeah, so, and also I'll get to the lab thing, too.
Okay, good.
I don't know how much the health officials know in Minnesota about the ability to increase the number of tests. I know they're hoping to increase the capacity soon. But I think we'll have to hold tight until we hear more from them on just when they'll be able to increase the testing capacity and then lift some of those restrictions on who can be tested. One of the restrictions on testing early on was also lab capacity. You know, somebody, if you go in to get one of these tests, is going to be swabbing your throat and swabbing your nose for a sample. But they have to send that sample to a lab somewhere to be analyzed. In the early days of this, which is only last week, even though it feels like 3 years ago at this point, only the Minnesota Department of Health was processing these tests in Minnesota. But the Mayo Clinic and some other commercial labs have have geared up to do these tests since then. It's not a super complicated process to do it. They just needed the supplies. And so we have more labs processing those tests now. But they're processing, total, the Minnesota Department of Health, it looks like they've processed about 2,300 tests so far. And their processing has sort of gone up every day. And as those other labs come online, we'll also see more tests processed through them.
I just had a text from one of our listeners who asked about how many people can be tested with a single test kit. Is it just one person?
My understanding is that it's just one person, and it isn't like a super high tech test. I think it is just like swabs, but they do have a shortage of those test kits, and then they also need the lab supplies, which it gets a little more technical than is my understanding. But there is some supplies in the lab that they need.
Okay, so what do you know about what the test is actually like if someone ends up having to go in and get tested?
Yeah, so the testing, basically, this virus replicates using RNA, which is ribonucleic acid. We have DNA that's sort of our genetic fingerprint. COVID has RNA, and this test, so they swab somebody's nose and throat, and then they bring it to a lab, and the lab equipment sort of extracts all of the RNA from the sample. Some of that, if the person tests positive or if the person has COVID, would be COVID RNA. And they put that into this device called a thermocycler that sort of heats up and cools down and changes temperature in such a way that it's more complicated than this, but basically they can put it through this process that like will excite some markers that they've put on some of the sample. And if they see a signal from that, it will test positive and then they know the person has COVID.
Okay. Well, Greta, I know, tell us a little bit about how MinnPost has made changes to cover this and cover this in a different way than maybe what you were doing last week and how you were covering issues in Minnesota.
Yeah, so at MinnPost, we like to think of ourselves as sort of a magazine that comes out every day. We've got more in-depth type stories. We have a small staff, so we're not necessarily covering all the breaking news that happens all the time, but we're more talking about why something is in the news or helping people understand the background information behind an issue. But it's been interesting in this COVID situation because it's such a fluid situation, and we've just seen so much demand from our readers for good information that we've sort of become a breaking news organization almost. So it's been funny to see that. We're all working from home, except our Capitol reporter, Peter Callahan, has been socially distancing himself at the Capitol. So we've got reports kind of as they come on the COVID situation. We've been doing the daily update because from our perspective, it gets really overwhelming to keep track of all the things that are happening. So we're trying to sort of round them up in one place where if you just need to read one thing about COVID every day, this can kind of be the one thing you read and you'll at least be apprised on the situation and not have to go read a million articles. So that's kind of my goal with that.
Yeah, you can read Greta's work at minpost.com. She's got in her today's update some of the other journalists that are reporting on things. Walker Ornstein is reporting on state parks that are still open. And we're also hearing about how counties are preparing from this from Jessica Lee. She mentioned Peter Callahan. He's got a great article about how the legislature shut down yesterday, what that means. And so lots of great journalism and reporting there. And you are member supported just like KEXE, KBXE, right?
We are, yeah. So if you have a couple bucks and you appreciate what we're doing, you can definitely support us. It's pretty easy to find the button on our website.
Well, Greta, I'm going to continue to bug you. We'll hope to talk to you soon on KEXE, KBXE. Thank you, and thanks for doing such good work.
Thank you, Heidi. Have a good one.
You too.